care of first. Appreciate that, Denny.
Thank you.
Well, guys, it is good to be together. It's good to see each and every one here. It's always an opportunity, and I enjoy the fellowship that we have and the times that we have together. It is good. You know, I think about the encouragement that I can get from spending time with you. And quite frankly, I can't do it on my own. And I don't know that any of us are any different. And so I always look forward to the times that we have together, whether it's in the assembly or at other times throughout the week, but I don't want to miss any opportunity. I know that. We've been looking at, in the past several weeks, I've looked at several different subjects talking about the church. The first time that we looked at this, we looked at the church was like a kingdom. And as we look through the scriptures, we recognize what God has to say, and the church is like a kingdom. In fact, you know what? The church is a kingdom. And so the similarities there, as we in our mind stop and think about, well, what is a kingdom and what is entailed in a kingdom? Those things have similarities with the Lord's church. Last week we looked at the church and we recognized that the church is like a family. And, you know, when we consider a family, I think we need to kind of go back in our minds and see what God designed a family to be. The family model that we're seeing in our society is really challenging, and it's creating a lot of pain in people's lives because that family is not what God designed it to be. And naturally, as a nation, if we want to have a good family and if we want to ensure that those that come after us have a good family, we need to go back to the model that God has given us, and let's correct any mistakes that we might have made or might be making, and let's go back to that plan and encourage others to do the same, because that is an essential aspect of a good society and a happy life. I want my children and grandchildren to have something better. And the problem is that we've grown up in a time where we decided that them having something better was having all the things that they wanted. That's not working so good. But at any rate, really what we need is mom and dad and the kids, and following the guidelines that God has given. Well, the applications of the family are also applicable to the Lord's church. And those things are very important, that we look at what God says and we put those into practice in the Lord's church. And you know what? If the church is not the proper family that it should be, it's going to be dysfunctional. And so we've always got to look at that and say, what does God say? If we find that we're not in line with those principles that God has placed in the Bible, let's just be humble and change. That's the key. Now, today we're going to look at the fact that the church is like a business. And, you know, when I think about a business, many years ago, I put some of these ideas down, and over the years, I've added a lot of information to that. About 11 or 12 years ago, I got to studying business to make the application, because you know where good business practices and principles come from? This thing that I hold here. Any successful business is going to have to go back and follow some principles that are found within God's Word. And so I began to study and to look and to recognize some of the things that have the Bible, that business does, that are applicable. And so as we begin this, there's a lot of things that I would like to talk about within the context of this subject, but we won't get to study all of them. We're basically going to look about, as a business, how we are accountable personally, professionally, and socially as a part of that business. But by way of introduction, I want us to note a few things about a successful business. I had a McDonald's hamburger this past week. And Kenneth is saying that's right up my alley. But you know what I noticed about that hamburger? I can do it a whole lot better at home. A whole lot better. So why is McDonald's so successful? Why is it such a worldwide business that's making all kinds of money? And I'll tell you why. It's because of systems. They begin with location, location, location. They buy the most expensive real estate in town. They put together a system that they can go in and put up a structure that it brings brand familiarity. And so people in their mind think Golden Arches. They put together a system that a child can read and follow the instructions and put that hamburger on a piece of bread and a little tiny bit of ketchup on the top and a pickle and hand it across the counter. And people say, great. And they spend money for it. And so systems are in place to make that successful. Any of us can make a better hamburger than McDonald's. But they're a very successful business because of the systems that are in place. And no doubt, probably all of us eat there from time to time. Maybe not as much as Kenneth. there in Burger King, right?
Yeah, I don't go to Burger King.
You don't burger Burger King? You've changed that. Okay, all right.
It's Arby's now.
It's Arby's?
Arby's.
I like Arby's. They got a good system too. But here, guys, the principle is a system in place with checks and balances to make sure that everything is done in a proper way. Now, with that in mind, you know, there's some principles that we can look at that within the Lord's church. There's things that we do that are important for our work that we need to work at. We need to do them. We need to make sure that we have systems in place that will ensure that things aren't left out that need to be done. Can you imagine what happens when you get that hamburger and you bite into it and it's cold and they forgot to heat it? Well, that's because a system is out of whack and somebody didn't do what they're supposed to do. And so it's the same thing. The church is like a business. And we put systems in place and we do things that we need to do and we do them in a proper way so that it'll bring about good results. Another thing that, have you noticed, and have you talked to many employers nowadays and they say it's just hard to find good help?
Oh, yes.
You're involved in that, a lot of us are. I had talked to one the other day, and he said, you know what, I just wish I could find somebody that would show up for work. Absenteeism is a terrible problem. And of course, and then once they show up to actually get them to do something, it is a real challenge in business today. And Roy's saying, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And so all of us understand these things. But now the key is this, guys. As we go back and we study some things about the church, we're going to learn that the Lord has put some principles and a system in place for the church. There's a lot of leeway within that, but there are still certain things that are very important for us to make sure that we follow that system and do the things that we should. We also need to recognize that God has placed within the realm of the Lord's church that His kingdom and His righteousness must be the priority in our life. Can you imagine an employee that comes to work and he doesn't care whether or not the company makes any money? They don't want to do their job. They're not concerned about anything except pulling a paycheck at the end of the week. You know, you've worked with those people, right? And you have to work around them and they're a pain in the neck. And so within that context, you and I are commanded as the church to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. We need to put everything into it for the good of the company. Now, the company is the kingdom of God. We need to do it to make sure that we work for our paycheck. The paycheck for the Christian is the blessings in life and the eternal life, which is wonderful. We need to make sure that we go back to that system and give it everything we've got to follow that system and make sure that things go through properly. And so as we look at these things, we learn some principles about the church. And we need to make some proper application as you and I come together to try to do the Lord's work. Because one of the things that we want is we want people to think about the brand. With the Church of Christ, they meet down there at the old Union Hall. I know those people. And they're known for going about and doing good. And we can tell that they're trying to do all they can. They're trying to follow the Lord. And so those are the things that we want, that brand. And we want to make sure that people recognize us as people that love the Lord. Well, let's go to this passage in Matthew chapter 25. And I want to begin in verse 14. And we're going to look at... Why don't I go ahead and read a little bit longer section, Matthew 25, and then we're going to come back and look at some of these things as we go forward. Matthew 25, 14 and following. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods." In other words, he's got business there to take care of. He's got a journey to do and another business to buy. And he's leaving these things in charge of his servants. Take care of them. Unto one he gave 5 talents. And another 2. And another 1. Each man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. I want to make the application here as we look at these things. Are you aware that God doesn't expect any more of you than you're capable of? Is that good or what? Okay. You know, I don't have to worry about doing what Shelley's capable of. It's not, I'm only have to do what I'm capable of. And likewise, for all of us, we're only called on to be responsible for what we're able to handle. That's nice. In fact, you know, in business, if you put something on somebody's shoulders that they're not capable of, you know what happens? Things go south. Okay? So we made to make sure that God knows what you can do. Then in verse 16 it says, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. In other words, he took those things that his master had given him. He put them to work in his lives and he produced profit. Now, you turn that over into the church, and here we're given opportunities and we're given blessings. We take those blessings and we use them into God's glory. Now, you know what's kind of neat? As we put our skill set together in our lives, we have a tendency to gain experience and get better, don't we? Sometimes we even gain some skills in some other areas, but the fact of the matter is, he's just saying, look, the faithful servant used what he was blessed with, and it brought about more good. Continuing, it says, "Then he likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But then verse number 18, he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." You know what stands out about this guy that had received the 1 talent? He had ability to deal with 1 talent. He didn't have the ability for 5. And so 5 talents were not given to this individual. But he took that 1 talent that he had the ability to deal with, and he became that slothful servant that wanted to show up for work and not do anything. Or wanted to not even show up and still get paid, you know. "You mean I got to come into work today? What's wrong with you?" You know. And so, at any rate, we see that the master gave each one according as his ability. In verse 19, "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained 5 talents more.' His Lord said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received the 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, "Lord, I knew you that you're a hard man. You reap where you don't sow, you gather where you haven't straw. I was afraid, I went and hid your talent in the earth, and lo, here's what's yours." His Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have to put my money to the changers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. And from him that has not shall be taken away even that he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If there's anything that this shows us, it's an excellent parable. But guys, it shows us that in the church that's like a business, each of us are responsible for what has been entrusted to our care. We need to use it to the best of our ability. Whatever that may be, we need to make sure that we understand that we are accountable personally for what God has blessed us with. And so as we look at that, I want to break this context down into 2 separate things. The first one is that we need to study, we need to pray, and we need to develop godly wisdom. In the business of souls, there are many challenges. There are many guidelines that God has given us within the Scriptures. Remember that system that made McDonald's so successful? Well, there is a system that God has given us within the pages of the New Testament that tell us how that business is to be run. Now, if we are to be what Jesus has determined we should be, we're going to have to go and study to find out what it is that actually amounts to. You know, the Bible is very clear. It helps us to see the plan. It helps us to see what is right. And it helps us to see what God expects of you and I in our lives and in the Lord's church. I mean, it is His church. And so, we need to pray as we do that. You know, in business, a lot of times they'll call up the boss and say, "I've got a problem here. How should I handle this?" At least we hope they do, right? You know, a lot of times they may be the kind that says, "Oh, I don't care what the boss says. Don't know what to do. I'm just going to do something." And then the boss calls them on the carpet a little bit later and says, "What's going on here? You know, why'd you do this?" "Well, I didn't know what to do. Why didn't you call?" Well, we have the avenue of prayer. We can go to God and say, "God, I need help." Does anybody here not need help? I need help every day. I'm glad that we've got a wonderful God that we can go to. I can look at His Word to see what He says. I can spend time in communication with Him to ask for godly wisdom. You know? I can put the information together, but sometimes I might have the information in my head, but I don't really understand. I had a conversation with a FAA guy, that's Federal Aviation Administration. I said, "You know what? I said, I'm a preacher, and so I kind of like the Bible because the things that God says just applies, always works." I said, "But in aviation, you get out there and you're in the air, and you get into this situation that says, okay, the rule says this, but this is your situation, so now what do you do?" I like God's rules better, okay? They're a whole lot more easier to see and to understand than aviation rules are at times. And so we need to study. We need to gain wisdom about what it says. In James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." Guys, I tell you what, as I look at the challenges of life, I'm always saying, God, I need help. I can't do it. God is saying that in the business of the church, we're going to find challenges. Yes, we've got that guidebook, and we need to be studying it. Read it. And we need to be asking God. We need to say, God, I need help. Here I am, and I'm faced with this dilemma. And God, I'm not sure how to deal with it. But if I could go to the top, you know, you won't do that. With Roy Kroc, you won't go talk to him. Okay? Even if he was alive. I think he's been dead a long time. But you wouldn't get try to get a hold of Jeff Bezos and say, hey, what do I do about this part? Not going to happen. Guys, we've got instant communication with God. And we have the ability to go before Him in prayer at any time and say, God, I need help. That's a comforting thing, because guess what? I'm responsible for my actions. And so with the church, like a business, we need that tie into, and we need to make sure that we learn and understand and try to do what's right, because we're going to give an account for what we do. Now, as we study and we pray, we develop godly wisdom. I think something that is so very important is that we learn how to live. In James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, this is a neat passage that talks about learning how to live. We've been studying in James and on Sunday morning Bible class, and we'll get to this in time, but notice what this passage says. "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom." But then watch this. "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Now think about that. You know how easy it is to get bitter envying and strife in our hearts. That's where a lot of the problems come from, within people circles. And so, that's something that should never be. In fact, God has told us how to deal with that. You know, He said, if you got something against somebody, go talk to them. Because 99.9% of the time, they didn't intend to hurt you in the first place. And Jesus is saying, look, if you got bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't lie against the truth. It's not God's wisdom. That's what He's saying. He continues, and He says, "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." And so notice here, we got to learn how to live in this. It says in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above," watch this. And this is where, in the business of the church, let's make sure that we go to the Word and learn how to live in these things and apply it every day. The wisdom that's from above is first pure. What are our thoughts? You know, if we've got an employee that sets out to hurt and go against the rules, how long is that business going to allow that employee to stick around? We've got to make sure that we've got pure motives and thoughts. Secondly, it's peaceable. You know, we talk a lot about drama, you know. Drama is devilish, okay, because it's not peaceable. And so we need to make sure that we understand Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they're going to be called the children of God." Does that mean that if I don't make peace, that I'm not a child of God? Wow, that's pretty scary. Is it easy to not be peaceful sometimes? to bring about chaos and concern and struggles and challenges? How long does a business last if you got a lack of peace within the ranks? Chaos. And it's the same thing with the Lord's church. And so the wisdom that's from above is pure and peaceable. It is also gentle. How long would we be able to make it on a job with a boss or employer and fellow employees that aren't gentle? How long do you want to stick it out? You usually about have it after a very short period of time. But guess what? We're all accountable peacefully, and we each must be gentle. We're all accountable personally. And so we've got to make sure that we are gentle as the business of the church, because we are part of that family. We're also then easy to be entreated. Man, what happened the last time somebody came to you with something that you did that was wrong? Did you blow up on them? Did you make them feel like they were a terrible person? That's not easy to be entreated. That wisdom is not from above. It's from Satan. And we need to be easy to be entreated. What if they were wrong? Well, you know what's kind of neat about that? Is if I go to somebody and I'm wrong, then I can develop a better relationship with them than I ever had before. But if they come to me and I blow up on them, we're not going to have a good relationship. And so the wisdom that is from above is easy to be entreated. It's also full of mercy. You know what mercy is? Good favor that I don't deserve. Man, that kind of humbles all of us, doesn't it? Because it's easy to look around at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, I failed. But all of us do. Everyone. A business that has employees that pick and knit on each other for each of their little failings is going to be a problem. In the Lord's church, in the business of the kingdom, we need to make sure that we're full of mercy. The scriptures teach that if we don't have mercy, we won't receive mercy. And so we need to be very understanding. We need to be easy to be entreated. We need to have mercy, understanding that we're all different. And we all make mistakes, including me and you. Next, it says that the wisdom that is above is full of good fruits. How active are you in the work of the kingdom, in the business of the kingdom, the church? And good fruits. Now, good fruits involves everything. How do you treat your neighbor? How do you treat the store clerk? How do you treat your spouse? How do you treat your children? Are you having good conversation? Are your words pure and full of grace? Are they godly? Are the things that you're doing, are they building up the Lord's church or tearing it down? See, the good fruit is whatever we do or say in our life. Is it what God says that it should be? A business that has employees and bosses that don't do what they should, going to have a lot of problems. The Lord's church is very similar. And so it's also without partiality. It's kind of neat, because we're all in the same territory, right? We're all on the same level. Not a one of us here is any better than anybody else. We each have, some have greater gifts and abilities in some areas than others. But you know what? A greater gift or ability does not make one individual any better than another. We're not to be partial. We're not to hold anybody to one standard and somebody else to a different standard. You know, in our society, nationality is a big one. Social status is another one. How much money somebody has. Looks is another one, the way people dress. We could use all kinds of things to be partial, but God says the wisdom from above is not partial. Better stay that way. I think we've got a great relationship here. I think we do good. But we've got to look at these things because it might not be so easy tomorrow. Because what happens tomorrow that upsets you? Just think about that. It's still the Lord's kingdom. Still the Lord's people. Are we without partiality and in these other things? And then the last part, it is without hypocrisy. Too many times I've heard in the communities around me people talking about hypocrites. We need to make sure that none of us are. But you know what? We will make mistakes. We will do things that somebody might see. I remember years ago, we had very little money. And we were raising children, and I would not buy anything for me that I didn't buy for the kids. I didn't buy a pop. I didn't buy a candy bar. I never did anything. And I made that statement to one of the men in the congregation. And I said, I don't go out and buy that stuff for me. I said, I can't afford it. About 6 months to a year later, I was pretty down. I was at the bottom. And I stopped at Casey's to get gas in the car. That's back before I'd use a credit card at the pump. And I saw them ice cream sandwiches on the way out, and I'm thinking, maybe that would pick me up. So I bought one. I hadn't done that in many years. Guess who saw me? I didn't try to explain myself. Knowing him, I know he thought I was a hypocrite. But he didn't know what I was dealing with in my life and where I felt. We do have to be very careful of being hypocritical. But we need to be full of mercy at the same time. We need to be peaceable. We need to be easy to be entreated. Because there's personal responsibility on all of our shoulders. You're responsible for your actions in the business of the Lord's work. Verse 18, it says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We will not be sowing righteousness if we don't make peace. Peace is so very essential. And human beings with individual personalities and desires and likes and dislikes, the lack of peace is one of the quickest things that comes up, and it comes up over the most inopportune and the most unintended things. But in a proper business, we're going to work through all of those things and keep the business going forward, making sure that we love others as we should and do what's right. I'm going to stop for this morning. I'm glad we got the Bible that shows us the plan. You know, the system's in place. And He tells us how to be successful. And I can't make you be personally responsible. And you can't make me be personally responsible. But the Lord holds all of us personally responsible. Now, one thing I like about being a Christian, or the opportunity to be a Christian, is that God will take you or I, wherever we're at, with all of our failings, and if we humbly come before Him and make changes to our lives, He accepts us. It don't matter who I am. It doesn't matter where I've been. It doesn't matter what sins I've committed. We have a gracious God that is willing to take us where we're at and help us to be what we need to be if we will come before Him humbly with a desire to change and be what He says. He won't look down on us. He won't upbraid us. But He'll strengthen us and encourage us and help us to go forward. You don't need to worry about your past. You don't need to worry about whether or not you can do it. You just need to come to God trusting Him and allow Him to help. You got a family, and you got a great God, and you got a wonderful Jesus that knows exactly how you feel and where you've been. We come to Him by learning about Him. And the more you learn about Jesus by studying the Word of God, the more it's going to develop a faith in you that will help you to overcome the challenges. Guys, life is tough. It's tough. Unfortunately, many of the problems that make life tough, we bring on ourselves. Maybe we bring it on somebody else, somebody brings it on us, or we make poor choices. Satan is alive and well, but God gives us the answer. He tells us as we gain a faith that we are to repent of our sins. In other words, if we are doing things that are not according to God's will, we change. If we won't change, we're not repenting. We look at the Bible to see what we're supposed to look like. And then we humbly come before God and do what He says. In Luke 13:3, Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you'll all likewise perish." I don't want to perish, and neither do you. We've got a wonderful God that'll help us. We've got a wonderful family to work together with. And a guideline, a system to help us do it where all of us can be strengthened and encouraged. We learned that we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. And then as we see that he was told he had to do that, that means that he's got a right to tell you what to do. Quite frankly, you want to put it in the realm of a boss? I'd kind of like a boss like that, that knows the right thing that will bless my life. And that's Jesus. He also tells us that we must be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. Simple plan. It's easy. People that gladly received His word do it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. But then we come up out of that water and we live different. That doesn't mean we're perfect, okay? I'm still struggling with things and I'm trying to overcome. And hopefully you can help me to overcome those things. But we're working at it together. Because we're to live faithfully till the day we die. I want to stand before God on the day of judgment and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If He came today, are you going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? If you're not going to hear that, the invitation's for you. You need to come, and we need to make some changes to whatever's going on in your life. You need to stand or come now as we stand and sing.